Mr. President, I move the further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is a spiritual leader, Raymond Owen, from the Prairie Island Dakota community in Red Wing, and then remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you. Part of the asked to do this for Gilbert Caribou that passed away. I'm filling in and asked to do this by my Chief Wabasha for the Dakota people. So it's a renewing of your prayer, that the oath that you took when you came in here. So the first man that offered that to our God, no matter where we come from, or even if we don't believe in him, this is a renewal of it, our service to each other and to our people. So this is a quick prayer to renew it. Hautukashla wakanta ga ake ape oyate mnichi ape aku ape wana e ape uichake oyate ayil wana wakayo wana itacha yuki ape otake wana najio ake ape wakanta ga nukapi ayoptaka wana oyate ayil tukashla wakanta ga Uchakpe oto hoxida hemielo, ate wakayo, ake najike, ona itacha wabesha, ona ukiape, oyate anipikta, wakantaka, takupikile, tokatakia, yuchamani washtelo. I walk into the future.
I will turn around here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic, which stands. Thank you very much.
All right.
Nice
thank
message.
You.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
See you. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson Ropes, Fishbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebretson, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olsen G, Olsen M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogemiller, Bretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Uyghur.
A quorum is present. The next order of business is executive and official communications printed on today's agenda. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. There are two printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. The next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions. Without objection, we'll take them as one motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. There are a couple of authors' motions. Senator Koch, did you have a motion to make? And Senator Vandeveer, and let's go back a step here. We're looking for Senator Koch, Vandeveer, Erickson Ropes, and Murphy to make these four motions. So, Senator Koch, did you have a motion to make?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move that Senate File 139 be withdrawn from the Committee on Taxes and re-referred to the Committee on Ag and Vets.
Senator, this is your bill, and you've talked to the other chairs. Is that correct?
This is my bill.
On the Koch motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Erickson Ropes, are you? Boy, this is a...
Yes, you Mr.
Moved.
President.
Senator Erickson Ropes.
I have a new seating assignment next to Senator Fredrickson. I'm very honored to be over here.
Hey.
I move that Senate File 244 be withdrawn from the Committee on Taxes and re-referred to the Committee on Ag and Vets.
Okay, Senator, this is your bill, and you've talked to the chairs of the respective committees. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. This is a Green Acres bill, and most of the Green Acres bills are being withdrawn from taxes and be given a hearing in Ag and Vets.
All right. On the Erickson Ropes motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Murphy.
Chris? Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that Senate File 42, now on general orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Senator, this is your bill, and you've talked to the Finance Committee Chair.
Mr. President, actually I haven't, but this bill does have a fiscal impact.
All right.
And it was supposed to go to Finance, but somehow it ended up on general orders.
All right, that's good enough.
Thank you.
All those in favor of the Murphy motion, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Gerlach, did you wish to make a motion? He can't make it.
Why not?
I guess I was mistaken. There are a number of, not a number, there's four resolutions on today's agenda. Without objection, they'll be sent to the Rules Committee. The next order of business is introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. There's one change on page 3. Senate File 376 will be sent to the Commerce Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, remaining on the order of motions and resolutions, I move the Senate take up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator.
Mr. President, members on your desk, I believe, is a list of three general orders bills. Number 1 on general orders, number 5 on general orders, and number 3 on general orders. I'd like to designate those. And I move that the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. First,
I'd like to yield to Senator Sharon.
First bill to be considered this morning on general orders will be number 1, Senate File number 29, Senator Sharon.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 29 be recommended to pass.
Senator Sharon on the bill.
This is a technical change on a bill. In 1999, by statute, we gave pharmacists the ability to enter into collaborative practice agreements with physicians to manage their patients' drug therapies. These collaborative agreements allowed, under certain protocols that were defined by the physician, clear protocols and directions for how pharmacists could modify a patient's prescription within that protocol. However, what happens is when the changes are made within the protocol, it by definition becomes a new prescription. And because it becomes a new prescription, it has to be signed again by a physician. What this legislation does is allow the pharmacist to sign the prescription and not require them to go back each time to get a signature from the physician. This really undermines the process of the protocol and the whole reason for which the protocol agreement is in place, to make it more efficient for the physician as well as for the patient. This change, when it occurs, would then be reported back so the changes are properly made in the patient's medical record, and it would streamline this system. the Board of Pharmacy, the Minnesota Medical Association, and the Minnesota Pharmacists Association are all in concurrence with this, and I would gladly answer any further questions.
Further discussion on Senate File 29? Seeing none, Senator Sharon renews her motion that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 29 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on general orders be number 5 on general orders, Senate File number 94. Senator Latz.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 94 be recommended to pass.
Senator Latz, discussion on the bill.
Members, when we passed the 35W bridge compensation bill last year, we did a lot of good things for the state of Minnesota and for the people who were injured, the families of those who died on the bridge. But as happens often with large pieces of legislation, there were a few bits of drafting and language that needed to be cleaned up. And in the light of the experience that the members of the special master panel in the Attorney General's office has had in implementing the bridge compensation process, they have come forward with a couple of provisions to clarify the language from last year's bill. So Senate File 94 does just that. The first section clarifies that the records that are created by the panel are not subject to discovery in any civil or administrative proceeding. The second section, while the members of the panel are already designated as immune, it doesn't mean that there's not some person who might decide to try to sue them for something, so we put an indemnity clause in there as well, so it's clear that the state would have the obligation to defend the members of the panel if they were sued. There is a privilege against testimony in Section 3 that no member of the panel can be required to testify in any civil or administrative proceeding regarding any of the issues that came before the panel unless there were allegations that a crime had been committed. And in Section 4, there's some clarity in the language relating to third-party subrogation and recovery. It turns out that the language that was in the bill that we did pass was a little bit ambiguous, and there was some question as to what the intent or the ways in which the language that we passed actually met the intent of the legislature. So what you have before you is a more clear language that will specify precisely what the intent of the legislature was relating to subrogation. And basically it says that no third parties can go after and recover any of the payments they have already made. For example, under no fault or workers' compensation payments to the survivors or their families. That way, the taxpayer dollars are being used to compensate the families and the survivors only and not other insurance coverage carriers. With that said, I ask for your support, and I'll stand for any questions.
Further discussions on Senate File 94, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Latz, would you yield for a question?
He will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you. Senator Latz, you may recall in the Judiciary Committee when we were discussing this bill, I raised the question about the not only the privilege of not testifying, but also whether or not an individual member of the panel, that he could keep his elements of discoverable participation, civil or administrative proceedings, they could keep that from public scrutiny. And I was wondering if that portion of the bill, is that something that is common in the way Minnesota does its business in this type of issue? Or is this unique only to the survivors and to the panel members on the bridge, 35W bridge collapse?
Senator Latz.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, the whole panel process here was unique. We're dealing with kind of a quasi-judicial function that they're serving. And I'm not entirely clear what you mean by the elements of each member of the panel, but certainly, you know, judges don't have to disclose their notes and their when they're doing their own research or when they're taking notes or evaluating how to handle a case. All of that is private judicial notes. Lawyers, in any case, don't have to disclose their own work product. With regard to their thoughts and how to handle a case, that's specifically privileged. So this is not an uncommon approach to decision makers or lawyers involved in legal proceedings. We have kind of a unique process here relating to this particular case, but you would find even in the Office of Administrative Hearings, the hearing officers, when they're making notes, as you know, their own personal notes and evaluation and thoughts, about a case, that's not disclosable. So that stuff is quite consistent with what we've got set up in this process.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Latz, you're correct. This is, first, this is not a judicial process, but it was perhaps acting as one. However, it does fall into the category of a compensation process. We have compensation processes for other losses that our citizens have to incur, and they have a right to come to the state government and seek compensation. That's exactly what the I-35W bridge collapse compensation process was. However, since it's not a courtroom, since it's not the process of which we would decide things versus a, let's say, a judicial process, I have a different opinion of how open government should be. I believe the state Senate has now a choice to decide whether or not the proceedings that are governed by the state, not an attorney advocating for a client, but the state process here, where the people are actually appointed to a board, they're supposed to listen to the concerns of the citizens in light of the state responsibility and then make a settlement decision on behalf of those who are seeking compensation. Because of that, that to me is an open process. It should be an open process. And that a member of the panel that is individually creating an impression of where this panel will make its decision, I believe that record should be open to public scrutiny and not sealed and not allowed to be discoverable in a civil or any other further administrative proceeding. It's just a simple, different approach to whether or not we want transparency and openness in this element of state responsibility when we're dealing with victims. So because of that, I cannot support your bill today, and I hope that in this area that we will try to keep it as open as possible. I believe the public has a right to know how a compensation board awards its decisions, why it would consider some things, perhaps why it would not. But I think not only the panel, but each individual member of that panel, that record should be held as open to the public as possible.
Okay. Any further discussion on Senator Latz?
Members and Senator Limmer, I think, Senator, you're setting up a false choice. This is not a choice between transparency in government and hiding the ball for everyone in the public. The Data Practices Act is hundreds of pages long, and it sets out a whole variety of different circumstances under which some information is public, and a lot of information has different degrees of private protections. Even in the regular Data Practices Act, there is data that is not even accessible to the individuals that are the subject of the data. And there are good public policy reasons for having some data accessible to the public and some data not as accessible to the public. You can even go back on driving records. There are some, the Department of Public Safety keeps several different layers of information on people's driving records, some of which is available to the public and some of which is available only to law enforcement, or going back further and further. So this is a discussion that has taken up, I'm sure, hundreds of hours of time on the civil law and judiciary committees over the years on data practices issues. In this particular case, what we have attempted to do here is actually clarify the way records should be handled, but it is entirely consistent. In fact, I would say it was intended by this group, by the Senate, and is included in Subdivision 3, Section A of the bill in front of us that we all passed last spring. This language is a little bit more specific precisely as to the nature of that that protection. Frankly, if every member, every person who applied to the panel for compensation felt that their detailed medical records or medical history history of emotional distress, including history relating to counseling and counselor's notes and therapy notes and all that kind of thing, could be made public, then we, well, for one, that would contradict almost every other judicial or quasi-judicial compensation process that we have in Minnesota. But secondly, you would not end up with a lot of people making their claims because they might not want to have to go through that process, or they would just go through a judicial process instead. And part of our goal here was to have people opt for this compensation process instead of going through the more lengthy and cumbersome judicial process to receive their compensation from the state.
Further discussion, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Latz, we're not talking about the privacy rights of medical records of individual citizens as you're attempting to lead the Senate discussion. We're talking about the availability of the records that are created by this compensation process. That's what your bill is about. When I raised the concern about who owned the data on information regarding individual citizens in the committee, in this process, no one could give me an answer. I was hoping someone could give me an answer today. Apparently, we still don't know. Or, at best, we're simply going to keep them sealed. And even survivors of the accident on the bridge may not be able to get the individual records out of this process. The individual members of the compensation board will not be available even to the survivors. We haven't had a discussion, well, we've attempted to have the discussion about whether or not Minnesota's data privacy laws govern who owns the information on the individual citizen in this process. That yet has yet to be determined. And so we all know that the information on medical records is protected by federal HIPAA law as well as the more stringent Minnesota data privacy laws. And so it's very doubtful that anyone will have any access to anyone's personal medical records because of those laws that have been rightfully put in place by us, the Minnesota legislature. However, we still have the doubt of whether or not the survivors actually own their medical records or not, or any other information that this board may begin to accumulate. And that's why, another reason why I have to hesitate on supporting your bill.
Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Latz, I have a one-word amendment I would like to make to your bill. And Mr. Chairman, on page 2, line 17, delete such.
Secretary will report the Fredrickson one-word amendment.
Mr. Fredrickson moves to amend Senate File 94 as follows. Page 2, line 17, delete such.
And the effect of that word change, Senator Fredrickson?
It's the word is superfluous and it's improper use of the word.
Okay. Senator Laddy, discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Latz, further discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fredrickson, that language was actually added in judiciary to clarify that it was relating back to the subrogation claim specified in paragraph A of that section. Without the word such, then it could be construed as relating to all subrogation claims and not just those limited to those specified in paragraph A. So I think the word such is important to that line.
Okay, we actually approved the Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Latz, I didn't quite follow that explanation. Would you go through it again?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fredrickson, the word such on line 17 of page 2 specifically relates back to also on line 17 where it says paragraph A. So if you read that whole sentence, a subrogation or other claim described in paragraph A and who claims such a subrogation. If you delete such, then you're not only referring to subrogations listed in paragraph A, but it could be more broadly read. And so the Judiciary Committee specifically added the word such to clarify that.
Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, I will withdraw my motion to amend then.
I think we have to. I'm going to take the blame for this. I moved a little too fast on it. So I think you have to move to reconsider. Is that correct? On the?
Had we already voted on it?
We did.
Mr. Chairman, having voted on the prevailing side of the motion to amend, I would move that motion be now reconsidered.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion approved. Now you can
move. Mr. Chairman, I will withdraw the amendment.
The amendment has been withdrawn. Any further discussion on Senate File 94? Seeing none, Senator Latz renews his motion that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 94 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on general orders will be number 3 on general orders, Senate File number 41, Senator Vickerman.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 41 be recommended to pass.
Senator Vickerman, discussion on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, Senate File 41 is a bill that would authorize Jackson County to make the Office of County Auditor Treasurer appointive if the County Board approves the measure by 4-5 vote or if a petition of 10% of the registered voters is filed and approved by voters at a regular or special session. If you notice on the print that come out, as far as not getting a favorable opinion from the House, what happened was we have a new representative over there, and he was carried on that side, and he was under the impression that if I passed it in the Senate, he didn't have to pass it in the House. Well, that doesn't work. They've both got to be companions. So he, in the last desperate moment, he tried to attach it onto another big bill, and the House refused to do that. So this year, he's back, and he's on track. He's got the bill over there, the same is mine, and they will both match up, and I would ask for your support.
Further discussion, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Vickerman yield for a question?
Senator Vickerman will yield. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Vickerman, with regards to the 10% referendum. If 10% of the voters in the county petition for a referendum, the most recent bills with regards to appointing auditor treasurer, is that true in all those particular instances? Do you know?
Senator.
Mr.
Vickerman.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Engelbrecht, it takes a 10%, petition of 10% in order to do the filings.
Turn
the safeguards, Senator Engelbrecht, turn the
microphone on.
In the bill. There's a lot of safeguards in this bill.
Is the microphone on? Okay, answer that again.
You want me to? Takes 10%, Senator Engelbrecht, and I apologize for that. I thought I was talking too loud, but now I'll talk right into it. And the county was all for it. The only problem is that the House, as I said before, the freshman over there failed to bring it. He tried to put it onto a big bill, and they refused to accept that. So now we're back. We each have a separate bill. This is a standalone bill that will make it, hopefully, through it. And I think you have to stop and think a little bit what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is make things easier, simpler, cut down costs to the counties, and this can do that by an appointee. Now, remember, anybody can file. We don't want to do that.
Let's listen to the author of the bill. Senator Engelbretson, further discussion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Maybe Senator Sharon could also help. I know last year she had a bill similar to this, and I was just wondering about the 10% of the voters in the county can petition for a referendum. Has that been true in the 27 counties that have been passed, is what I was asking. Maybe she might know.
Senator Engelbretson, I believe it's 12 counties that's already passed this. And I passed it for the six counties that I represent, if this one passes. They've all agreed to it. The safeguard, we have a resolution. I took it before the committee. It passed our committee without any question whatsoever.
Senator Sharon, did you wish to help explain this?
If I understood the question correctly, I have also had legislation of this kind in the past, and this percentage is the same on all previous legislation.
Senator Engelbrecht.
Thank you, Senator Sharon, for that. Well, members, I stand in opposition to this bill as I have in the past, and the reason being is that these same people that are elected by the same people that elect auditor treasurers, which are county commissioners, are basically saying that they're not, those same voters are not qualified to elect their elected officials, and it's a slippery slope that we continue to go down here. And I guess it's a popular thing for a senator to carry that because for obvious reasons that we tried to do all 87 counties last year, and that was voted down so mysteriously. I'm not quite sure why that would be voted down, other than everybody wants to carry their individual their county bills. But I stand by the fact that folks get an opportunity to participate in their government process, and that the most sacred part, of course, is to be able to vote in their public officials. And the auditor treasurer should be no different than the county attorney, the sheriff, or the other officials, and themselves included, county commissioners. So. I would really ask that the members of this body reconsider their thought on this in this direction that we're going here, and vote against this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion at Senate File 41.
I'd like a roll call, please.
There will be a roll call. Three hands. Seen three hands, there will be a roll call. Secretary will take the roll. Senators are to vote. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 50 ayes and 13 nays, the motion prevails.
Mr. Pritt.
Without objection, remaining. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee do now rise and report.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the committee of the whole, as kept by the secretary, be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Is he done with that? Now, remaining under motions without objection, we'll call on Senator Vandiver, Senate file number 153. Senator Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate file 153 be withdrawn from the Committee on Taxes and re-referred to the Committee on Agriculture and Veterans.
This is your bill, and you've discussed it with the...
Mr. President, I believe this is Green Acres, and all the other ones went to tax or to ag, and this was sent to taxes by mistake.
Now that's correct. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Okay, continuing... without objection on motions, Senator Murphy. Okay, we already. Okay, he asked me to do his, but I think we already did. Okay, I believe we're on the announcement motion to order of business number 13, announcements of Senate interest. Senator Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We had a great time at Rochester Days last week. I want to remind you that tomorrow's St. Cloud Area Days. You're going to be seeing people floating around, and certainly encourage you. Some of them may even have some good ideas about this little budget problem we've got. And then hope you can join us at the Kelly Inn tomorrow from 4:37.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the Majority Leader yield for a question?
Yeah, the Majority Leader will yield. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pogemiller, I was wondering if we could get some clarification. This is of vital interest to the entire Senate regarding the press availability last Friday. A reporter asked Senator Clark directly if there would be an alternative budget put forth by the DFL majority. It's been a week now. We've had the governor's plan out there where you know that the minority party here, the Republicans, have been asking for targets, have been asking for some budget plans. And the response to that question was an immediate no. And the follow-up was, we're not going to have any kind of an alternative document. We're going to work off the governor's budget. I'm wondering if... for clarification, why the Senate would be acquiescing or surrendering our role in putting forth budget plans by simply not doing that and rather just surrendering to the executive branch.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator, I did not hear Senator Clark's comments, but she just leaned back and said that's fairly accurate what she said. I'm in agreement with what Senator Clark said. I think the entire thrust of the session needs to be a bipartisan thrust, and working off the executive's budget, I think, is the appropriate approach. There are many things in the governor's budget that will be adopted, that will be part of, I presume, a bipartisan budget in the Senate, and the items that are not adopted by our committees, alternatives will be provided. And so that seems like an orderly manner to proceed in. And
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Senator Pogemiller, I'm a little distressed about that. I mean, we talk about how we have to have all our ideas on the table. we now have one set of ideas on the table, that is of the governor, and we don't have the ideas from the Senate or from the legislature on the table for the public to weigh. We have one side, and I'm fearful that that could degenerate into just a one-sided hog pile, so to speak, without having the full range of ideas on the table. And in order to put a budget plan forth, you have to be both able and willing. The executive branch is able with the staff to dig into a gigantic job as putting together a budget, and they're willing to do so. The Senate majority is able to do so with the staff, but apparently is not willing. Now, in the minority, we're willing, but we're not able. We don't have the staff and the resources to really put the level of detail together that we would necessarily like. So we have to kind of watch and try to weigh in where we can. But I think it's really, it's incumbent upon the majority leadership of the party, of the legislature, to come forth and put their ideas on the table. We've heard about this for months, that everybody needs to have their ideas on the table. Now to shrink from that and to surrender to the executive branch and just say, well, we'll just kind of go off of what you've got, we all know that whoever puts the ideas on the table first is really in the driver's seat. So it sounds like the Senate is essentially surrendering to the governor here, and I would like for our Senate majority to come forth with a budget plan as soon as possible so that we can get all the ideas on the table. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I guess I have a similar question to Senator Gerlach for the Majority Leader. My question has to do with the establishing of targets for the budget committees. As we have talked about, and we do have rules that say that we have for our budget divisions, we're going to set some limits of how much money we're going to spend in each of these areas. And if we don't have any kind of a plan to work off of, that concerns me, that sort of suggests we're not going to have targets at all. Or if we're going to accept the governor's plan, does that mean then that we're going to take the targets that the governor has established in his budget and incorporate them and adopt them as targets for our committees? And maybe, Senator Pogemiller, could you clarify that if that's the intention of the majority?
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Gerlach and Senator Hahn, I think first I don't accept your premise that it sounds a little bit like the other body, that kind of discussion in the majority and the minority. In the Senate, we tend to be a more collaborative body. We're looking for bipartisan solutions in the Senate. As you know, every budget bill in the Senate has passed bipartisanly in the last few years. The only outstanding bill that doesn't pass bipartisanly sometimes is the omnibus tax bill, but all the other bills do. And so I don't think it's the one segment of the Senate's job to come up with a budget separate from the other segment. We do that in the committees. I encourage you to be active in your committees. To the extent you're on finance committees, you should be active in those committees. Every member, every chair of those committees is looking for suggestions from every member of the committee as to how to balance this. And so I just don't accept that premise that somehow this is us versus them. This is not the executive branch versus the legislative branch. It's not Democrats versus Republicans. This is a group effort, a post-partisan effort, if you will, to try to resolve these very serious budget times that we find ourselves in. With regards to, I don't think it's a question of strength to not be to show that you are going to work off of the governor's initial budget. I don't see that as a problem. We typically always do that. And there are many ideas in the governor's budget that will be adopted, some that will not. That's no different than any other year. I think one of the major concerns that exists right now in my initial discussions with finance chairs and the tax chair is that we simply don't know if the governor's budget actually balances yet. And I think that's the first examination, because that's the task. We do know that under his proposal there's a $2.5 billion structural deficit, even if we were to accept his budget in total. And I don't think that's a very good idea to just give up and say we're going to have a $2.5 billion structural deficit. I think that's not a good idea. So we'll be working together. The House is going to adopt the committee deadlines this week sometime, so we'll have that done. The Rules Committee will be discussing the rule related to budget targets, and I've offered to Senator Senjum to change that rule in any fashion that facilitates a bipartisan approach in the Senate. And I think we will have a bipartisan approach in the Senate. Don't know what all the pieces of that are, and I presume it will be in some respects different than what the governor is suggesting.
Senator Vandiver.
Well, Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller, I guess I can accept that. It's as long as we're sure that we're not just using the governor's budget as a target, because we wouldn't want to politicize this, and he's the one that showed his whole card, whereas the legislature hasn't. So it's easy in a situation like this, or it could be easy to just use it to attack him simply because he's outlined his budget, and with this kind of a deficit, it's not a real pretty picture. So if that's what you're, as long as that's not the intent here, then I guess I'm not that concerned about it. But I would disagree on one point. I don't think every time we don't agree on something that it's a partisan issue. I know your friends in the press dutifully report that every time something's brought up where there might be some difference of opinion. But really, we are concerned about this budget and seeing it go forward. And it is typical for us to have targets anyway, and there are none at this point. So,
Mr.
All right, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, it's hard to have targets when you don't have the February forecast. And so I think in due time there will be targets for the divisions to come forward with bills. And every member of these finance committees has the same resources to bring ideas forward in the budget debate. And so that was the other part. I don't accept the premise, Senator Gerlach, that somehow members of the Senate who are on unequal footing in terms of putting together ideas. We all have access to the staff of the Senate, and we're going to need ideas from every member of the Senate to resolve this budget. So I encourage you to be active on their committees and to do the work. Mr. President, with that, I would move that.
Before that motion, without objection, Senator Bach, Senator Jen Olson, and Senator Kubley will be excused from today's session all day. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, would the majority leader just yield on a question? Senator Pogemiller, one of the things that we received in an email on Friday was referenced meetings around the state. And it did cite locations, and generally, at least on the 19th, it was going to be Thursday afternoon. Can you give us a little bit more play into that? Is it going to be like all of the finance committees, or it mentioned Senate Finance and House Ways and Means? Our members are, particularly those that aren't on those committees, are certainly wondering whether or not they're able to participate. And if there's any more direction to that memo, that would be helpful.
Senator Cohn.
Mr. President, Senator Senjum, we're still working on ironing out the details, but the intent is to, if you've seen the schedule, go to many of the communities around the state. Obviously, time doesn't permit us to go as many places as we would like. The intent is to do this with 10 members of the legislature, so it would be 5 Senate members, 5 House members, and we're in the process of circulating to all members of the Senate a list of locations. The intent is to have both majority and minority members present. I'm not sure if that would be 3-2 or 4-1 on the part of the Senate and a like number on the part of the House. It obviously depends on individual members' schedules. In a perfect world, it might be best to do it division by division, but that simply is not realistic. We can't say that at a given time enough members of a particular division would be available for a particular location. So we're going to do it in a way where people can sign up. And when I get back to the office, to my office, I'll ask my staff where we are with the comparable House staff.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Cohen, could you just maybe follow up a little bit? It sounded like it was sort of going to be a limited group, but we may well have senators, perhaps not even on the Finance Committee, that may want to attend, a hearing. And the case might be we may have senators that don't want to, but if a senator would want to, is that available to them?
Senator Cohen, I would think all senators are welcome.
Mr. President, I'm sorry, I should have clarified this. I didn't mean Finance Committee, the Finance Divisions. And I think everybody is either on a Finance Division or on the Tax Committee. So it's not going to be limited to members of the full Finance Committee at all.
Well, Mr. President.
All senators are invited to these meetings, I would guess. There's nothing.
Yes, and I think Senator clearly Portugal. A member, if it's in their community,
particularly those. Yeah.
Absolutely should be there. And with nameplate, everybody's invited. I think they're trying to accommodate a situation where not every member would want to go to all these meetings. And they're trying to figure out a way the list I've seen is in all kinds of different communities. And if there's a community, Senator Senjum, that should be considered that Senator Cohen's committee has not, I think that should be brought to Senator Cohen. I think he's been trying to balance it around the state. And working with the House.
Yeah, Mr. President, Senator Pogamiller, that's correct. The couple of things that obviously we're going to make sure that senators whose areas we're in, whether the particular city or the geography, will be part of this if they're available. And I should mention that there's nothing magic about the 10 people. If we find, this will not be meetings that will result in any votes. The hope is to listen to people from around the state, get a sense, both positive and negative, relative to the governor's budget, relative to our budget situation, find what people are thinking. Obviously, we're going to have some people who will be there to say, you shouldn't do this. We hope to have a lot of people there saying, you should do this, or how about this idea? And I can't predict what direction it'll take. It's meant to be more of a listening meeting. So if we find, hypothetically, the meeting that takes place in wherever, St. Cloud, as an example, we have 13 people between the House and the Senate who want to go. I don't think there's anything magic about limiting to 10 people. We're not going to have votes on anything.
The short answer is all senators, if you're interested, could show up at any or all of these meetings. Is that correct, Senator Cohen? Yes. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, with that, I move the Senate adjourn till Thursday, February.
Senator Kubley, excuse me, without objection, instead of all day, will be excused from 11 to noon. Now, Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President. Mr. President,
Senator Marty.
I want to announce the Senate Environment Committee is going to be joining with the Senate Health Committee at 12:30 in room 15 for a joint hearing. Hope you can be there at 12:30.
All right.
Mr. Senator. President, I move that the Senate adjourn until Thursday, February 5th, 11 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.